Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, May 29th, 2025. We'll start with an article on the front page headlined, Decatur, All Hands on Deck, City Storm Cleanup to Span 2 Weeks. Crews Include Everybody We've Got, by Tony Reed, Decatur. Cleaning up after one of Mother Nature's wind-powered tree demolitions takes a while. About 2 weeks, to be precise. City of Decatur Municipal Services Manager Byron Bauman says it will take all of that to pick up the mass of felled trees, broken limbs, and arboreal debris left in the wake of the May 16th windstorm. Gusts in Decatur were clocked at more than 60 miles per hour, and the effect on the city's tree population, including many older specimens long past the prime of their long lives, was intense. We're using everybody we've got, said Bowman, describing the cleanup effort. We've kept our mechanics in the building to take care of any other things that might pop up, but all of our everyday workers are in the field. We've got 37 people working, and that's everybody. Realizing that residents would be overwhelmed, the city has launched a cleanup effort where its workers clear away tree debris from outside private homes. The rules are that no individual chunks of tree can be longer than 8 feet, and all debris must be left at the curb. Strictly, no other waste was to be included, and those residents, hoping to seize a chance to clean out the backyard by mixing in other stuff, found themselves barking up the wrong tree. Our crews see that. We skip that pile, said Bowman. Families also had to call ahead to get their address added to the cleanup roster, but the deadline to do that has now closed, and we received in excess of 700 phone calls, Bowman added. We have got them all logged, and we will get to every one of those that called. The worst area for tree damage? Bowman said Martin Luther King Jr. Drive to 22nd Street and from roughly Lakeshore Drive towards Garfield Avenue have seen some of the largest wood piles so far. He's worked for the city for 36 years and says, while heavy, the May 16th storm tally is far from the worst he's seen. Bowman said the intense windstorm, known as a derecho, that clobbered the area in June of 2023 was particularly bad, along with the back-to-back tornadoes of April 18th and 19th in 1996. Yes, by far, those were the worst, he said. Where does all that broken tree stuff go? The city delivers to several private firms that grind it up into mulch. Park District clobbered. Another big custodian of trees is the Decatur Park District, home to more than 30 parks and 10 miles of paved trails covering thousands of acres. Their trees got clobbered too, with Park District Executive Director Clay Gerhardt reporting multiple casualties, including about a dozen substantial trees measuring 4.5 to 5 feet in diameter. Ferries Park turned out to be one of the worst hit areas, with several large trees knocked over that also ripped down neighboring power lines. Gerhardt said some of the trees felled by the wind were diseased and getting ready to bite the dust anyway. But overall, he said the tree population in the parks and throughout the city was doing well, health-wise. Nothing lasts forever, however, and he said the park district and the city had flourishing tree planting programs designed to maintain the area's leafy legacy for future generations. We've been working with the city on a tree grant this last year, he added. That's actually a 5-year grant to increase the urban tree canopy. So I believe we planted 150 last fall, and we'll be planting another 50 to 100 trees this fall again, and do the same for the next 5 years, he said of the park district. And the city is on a very similar path. Gerhardt said the park district was pretty proud of the tree canopy, gracing the city's parks and the whole of the city. We just all have to continue to work to maintain that and deal with problems as they come up, he added. This article is accompanied by three full-color photos attributed to Joseph Ressler Photos, Herald, and Review. The first shows a piece of heavy equipment loading tree debris into a truck bed and is captioned, City of Decatur Municipal Service Workers collect branches from a residence on Tuesday, May 27th, during the tree debris cleanup effort following a recent windstorm. The second shows two workers, one at a truck and the other hauling a large tree branch, and is captioned, City of Decatur worker T.J. Murray collects branches on Tuesday, May 27th, from a residence during the tree debris cleanup effort following May 16th storm. The final photo shows two men wearing bright green Decatur t-shirts, and one of them is putting tree debris into a piece of heavy equipment, and is captioned, City of Decatur workers follow a route collecting branches from residences on Tuesday, May 27th, as part of an effort to clean up tree debris following May 16th storms. MacArthur Graduation Issues Prompt Apology by Valerie Wells, Decatur. Superintendent Rochelle Clark made a public apology to families affected by the problems at MacArthur High School's graduation on May 17th. A number of parents and family members were not admitted to the school in time to see their students walk across the stage and were sent to watch a live feed in the auditorium, which had technical difficulties. The district is holding a second ceremony on Thursday to allow those families to watch their students walk across the stage. We're going to make sure nothing like this happens again, Clark said at Tuesday's school board meeting. There were problems at Eisenhower High School as well that day, she added, because the school's power went out. But with the combined efforts of Ameren, the Buildings and Grounds Department, and other staff, that graduation went on as scheduled, she said. In other business at the meeting, the Illinois Principals Association has recognized three Decatur students with leadership awards, which was announced to the board. The students, all eighth graders, are Rikaya Harper, Dennis Lab School, Anna Miller, Johns Hill Magnet School, and Jabri Comage, American Dreamer STEM Academy. Decatur Public Schools Foundation Executive Director Zach Shields gave the board an update on the Duane O. Andreas Ag Academy, accompanied by three students who told their own stories about their experiences there. As the academy moves into its eighth year of existence, Shields said 60% of students are minorities and 58% are females. And those are the categories of students that were not expected to show any interest in the Ag Academy when the idea was first proposed. I'm really proud of that, he said. The Academy emphasizes the many careers in agriculture, he said, from sales to information technology to engineering. And most recently, students competed in a forging competition, where the object was to create a hammer. The course offerings have grown from the three offered the first year to 14 in the coming academic year, and many of them fulfill graduation requirements, making the most efficient use of students' time, with some courses including honors options as well. Event to mark Cancer Survivors Day, May 31st, by Scott Perry, Decatur. Cancer Care Specialists of Illinois, Decatur Memorial Hospital, and HSHS St. Mary's Hospital are teaming up to celebrate National Cancer Survivors Day, an event to honor, encourage, and gather with local cancer survivors. Cancer survivors and a guest are invited to Fairview Park from 1 to 3 p.m. Saturday, May 31st, for a meal provided by Notorious P.I.G. and music from Pizzazz. The event is free and no registration is necessary. Throughout the event, physicians, healthcare professionals, and volunteers will be available to support survivors and their caretakers. For more information, call 217-876-4749. Sheriff, 3-year-old found in pool dies, by Danette Beckett, Oriana. The Macon County Sheriff's Office is investigating the drowning death of a 3-year-old Saturday afternoon in Oriana. According to a Sheriff's Office news release, county deputies and the Argenta Oriana Fire Department responded to a report of a possible drowning at approximately 2 p.m. at a residence in Oriana. The original caller had stated that they found their younger brother in the pool of the residence and not breathing, the news release stated. A 3-year-old boy was transported by ambulance to Decatur Memorial Hospital, where he was declared deceased shortly after his arrival, the release stated. There was no additional information available. Education. Foreign institutes woo U.S. scientists. Trump budget proposes 40% cut to NIH, 55% to NSF. By Christina Larson, Adithi Ramakrishnan, and Jamie Keaton, Associated Press. As the Trump administration cut billions of dollars in federal funding to scientific research, thousands of scientists in the U.S. lost their jobs or grants, and governments and universities around the world spotted an opportunity. The Canada Leads program, launched in April, hopes to foster the next generation of innovators by bringing early career biomedical researchers north of the border. All Marseille University in France started the Safe Place for Science program in March, pledging to welcome U.S.-based scientists who may feel threatened or hindered in their research. Australia's Global Talent Attraction Program, announced in April, promises competitive salaries and relocation packages. In response to what is happening in the U.S., said Anna Maria Arabia, head of the Australian Academy of Scientists, "We see an unparalleled opportunity to attract some of the smartest minds here. Since World War II, the U.S. has invested huge amounts of money in scientific research conducted at independent universities and federal agencies. That funding helped the U.S. to become the world's leading scientific power and has led to the invention of cell phones and the internet, as well as new ways to treat cancer, heart disease, and strokes," noted Holden Thorpe, editor-in-chief of the journal Science. But today, that system is being shaken. Since President Donald Trump took office in January, his administration has pointed to what it calls waste and inefficiency in federal science spending and made major cuts to staff levels and grant funding at the National Science Foundation, the National Institutes of Health, NASA, and other agencies, as well as slashing research dollars that flow to some private universities. The White House budget proposal for next year calls to cut the NIH budget by roughly 40% and the National Science Foundation's by 55%. The Trump administration is spending its first few months reviewing the previous administration's projects, identifying waste, and realigning our research spending to match the American people's priorities and continue our innovative dominance, said White House spokesperson Kush Desai. Already, several universities have announced hiring freezes, laid off staff, or stopped admitting new graduate students. On Thursday, the Trump administration revoked Harvard University's ability to enroll international students, though a judge put that on hold. Research institutions abroad are watching with concern for collaborations that depend on colleagues in the U.S., but they also see opportunities to poach talent. "There are threats to science south of the border," said Brad Wooters of University Health Network, Canada's leading hospital and medical research center, which launched the Canada Leads recruitment drive. "There's a whole pool of talent, a whole cohort, that is being affected by this moment." Universities worldwide are always trying to recruit from one another, just as tech companies and businesses in other fields do. What's unusual about the current moment is that many global recruiters are targeting researchers by promising something that seems newly threatened, academic freedom. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen said this month that the European Union intends to enshrine freedom of scientific research into law. She spoke at the launch of the bloc's Choose Europe for Science, which was in the works before the Trump administration cuts, but has sought to capitalize on the moment. Eric Burton, president of Aix-Marseille University, expressed a similar sentiment after launching the institution's Safe Place for Science program. Our American research colleagues are not particularly interested by money, he said of applicants. What they want above all is to be able to continue their research and that their academic freedom be preserved. It's too early to say how many scientists will choose to leave the U.S. It will take months for universities to review applications and dole out funding, and longer for researchers to uproot their lives. Plus, the American lead in funding research and development is enormous, and even significant cuts may leave crucial programs standing. The U.S. has been the world's leading funder of R&D, including government, university, and private investment, for decades. In 2023, the country funded 29% of the world's R&D, according to the American Association for the Advancement of Science. But some institutions abroad are spotting significant early interest from researchers in the U.S. Nearly half of the applications to Safe Place for Science, 139 out of 300 total, came from U.S.-based scientists, including AI researchers and astrophysicists. U.S.-based applicants in this year's recruitment round for France's Institute of Genetics, Molecular, and Cellular Biology roughly doubled over last year. At the Max Planck Society in Germany, the Lisa Meitner Excellence Program, aimed at young female researchers, drew triple the number of applications from U.S.-based scientists this year as last year. Brandon Coventry never thought he would consider a scientific career outside the United States. But federal funding cuts and questions over whether new grants will materialize have left him unsure. While reluctant to leave his family and friends, he's applied to faculty positions in Canada and France. I've never wanted to necessarily leave the United States, but this is a serious contender for me, said Coventry, who is a postdoctoral fellow studying neural implants at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. But it's not easy to pick up and move a scientific career, let alone a life. Mariana Zhang was studying how children develop race and gender stereotypes as a postdoctoral fellow at New York University when her National Science Foundation grant was canceled. She said it felt like America as a country was no longer interested in studying questions like mine. Still, she wasn't sure of her next move. It's no easy solution, just fleeing and escaping to another country, she said. U.S. economy, homeowners still spending on projects, by Alex Vega, Associated Press, Los Angeles. U.S. homeowners are spending more on home renovation projects, bucking a broader pullback by consumers amid diminished confidence in the economy. Sales at building materials and garden supply retailers rose 0.8% last month from March, the biggest gain since 2022, and were up 3.2% from April last year. At the same time, U.S. retail sales overall rose 0.1%, a sharp slowdown from March. The trend occurred even as prices for home improvement products rose. The cost of home repairs and remodeling climbed by nearly 4% in the first quarter from a year earlier, according to Versix Remodel Index. The strategic data analytics firm tracks costs for more than 10,000 home repair items, from appliances to windows. Recent price increases appear to be driven primarily by labor costs and don't appear to reflect the ongoing trade war the Trump administration is engaged in with major U.S. trading partners like Mexico, China, and Canada. We haven't seen panic buying from contractors or investors concerned about the impact tariffs might have on future costs or labor rates being driven up by stricter enforcement of immigration policies. Greg Pine, Vice President of Pricing for Verisk Property Estimating Solutions, said in a report this month. Home Depot said last week that it doesn't expect to raise prices because of tariffs, saying it spent years diversifying the sources for the goods on its shelves. However, Executive Billy Bastek said some products now on the store's shelves may disappear. He also noted the chain sees fewer customers taking on large home improvement jobs like kitchen and bath remodels, because high interest rates may be dissuading homeowners from borrowing to finance such projects. Rising home prices and signs of a solid economy supported the outlook for higher spending on home improvement. But that could change if the housing market and economic outlook worsen, said Carlos Martin, director of the JCHS's Remodeling Futures Program. Building materials retail sales are strong, but we are seeing a significant downturn in the sales of existing homes and their median sales price since the last projection. Both are known contributors to home improvements, Martin said. Broader economic turbulence, like a recession, a worsening job market, or higher inflation, would almost certainly temper our expectations. Battery charged after 16-year-old beaten by Tony Reed, Decatur. A Decatur man is denying charges he beat a 16-year-old boy bloody and strangled him as punishment for getting suspended from school. Darius D.C. Cliff Sr. is quoted as claiming the boy came at him and tried to punch him after they got into an argument on the day of the suspension, April 17th. Darius stated the boy tried to punch him. Darius said that he did grab the boy and slam him to the ground when he tried to punch him. Decatur Police Department Officer Charles Lane said in a sworn affidavit. When I asked him, Darius said that he had not punched the boy during this incident. The boy, who had escaped the house where the alleged assault took place by jumping out a window and running to his aunt's home, is quoted as telling a different story. He said Cliff, 35, punched him in the head on the car ride home after collecting him from school, and this blow caused his nose to start bleeding. The assault continued when they arrived at the defendant's house after the boy was thrown to the floor and repeatedly punched in the head. He told police he was also choke-slammed onto a bed after being grabbed by the throat to the point where he couldn't breathe or speak. Lane said the boy had bloodstains on his pants when police spoke to him, and his aunt had taken pictures of the child's wounds when he first arrived at her house. The officer noted the boy still had extensive bruising around his face and injuries consistent with being struck more than once. Cliff appeared April 30th in Macon County Circuit Court, denying charges of aggravated domestic battery and two counts of domestic battery. He is due back in court July 2nd for a pretrial hearing. Judge Lindsay Shelton granted Cliff pretrial release, but ordered him to have no contact with the boy unless allowed by the Department of Children and Family Services. Police noted that Cliff has two prior convictions for domestic battery. Tactile Lincoln Exhibit Opens by Angela Bauer, Jacksonville Journal-Courier, Springfield. An exhibit that combines touch with sight and sound to tell the story of the 16th U.S. president has opened at Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum in Springfield. The goal of the traveling exhibit, Lincoln, Sight, Sound, and Touch, created by Tactile Images in partnership with the National Federation of the Blind, is to let visitors explore history using their eyes, ears, and hands, according to the museum. It transforms images from Lincoln's life into three-dimensional objects that visitors can touch while listening to audio presentations explaining his accomplishments and enduring legacy. The exhibit will remain on display through August 24th. While the exhibit is designed for everyone, it offers an especially powerful experience for visitors with impaired vision, according to the museum. The museum is supplementing the exhibit with facsimiles of artifacts that people can touch, including Lincoln's briefcase, a life mask, and Tad Lincoln's model cannon. Authentic Lincoln artifacts from the museum's collection, along with touchable replicas, also will be on display. The museum also worked with Tactile Images to create a new piece focusing on Lincoln and the Gettysburg Address. It will remain at the museum after the exhibit moves on, giving the museum something else to offer visually impaired visitors. A primary theme of the exhibit is how Lincoln's image has been used in advertising, and various ads and posters have been transformed into three-dimensional objects. The exhibit also includes touchable models of a sculpture from the Lincoln Memorial, Lincoln's face and hands, and a Lincoln medal. Touching sensors will turn on audio descriptions of the object, while buttons on each panel let visitors hear explanations of the history and significance of each item. Lincoln Sight, Sound, and Touch is included with regular admission to the museum. Women's Tennis Tourney Seeks Ball Runners by Scott Perry, Decatur. Volunteers are needed to be ball runners for the upcoming Illinois Women's Pro Tennis Championships in Decatur. A training session for those ages 12 and up will be held from 1 to 2 p.m. Sunday, June 1st, at the Fairview Tennis Center. Participants need to be available from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. June 14th through 15th. To sign up or for more information, contact Chuck Kuhle, K-U-H-L-E, at 217-433-8864 or email K-U-H-L-E-T-E-N-N-I-S, that's Kuhle Tennis, at gmail.com. This is the first year for the Illinois Women's Pro Tennis Championships, set for June 9th through 15th. It will feature 70 players from over 15 countries, competing for WTA professional ranking points and a $30,000 prize purse. Digest. German leader offers assistance to Ukraine. Berlin. German Chancellor Friedrich Merz pledged Wednesday to help Ukraine develop its own long-range missile systems that would be free of Western-imposed limitations on their use and targets as Kyiv government fights to repel Russia's invasion. Some of the advanced weapons systems that Kyiv's allies supplied to Ukraine during the three-year-old war were subject to range and target restrictions, a fraught political issue stemming from fears that if the weapons struck deep inside Russia, the Kremlin might retaliate against the country that provided them and draw NATO into Europe's biggest conflict since World War II. Standing beside Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, Merz said that under an intensified cooperation agreement, Germany will strive to equip the Ukrainian army with all the capabilities that truly enable it to successfully defend the country. New COVID variants starting to circulate. COVID-19 cases are rising again as a new variant begins to circulate in some parts of the world. The World Health Organization said Wednesday the rise in cases is primarily in the Eastern Mediterranean, Southeast Asia, and Western Pacific regions. Airport screening in the United States detected the new variant in travelers arriving from those regions to destinations in California, Washington State, Virginia, and New York. The WHO considers the public health risk low at the global level, with current vaccines expected to remain effective. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half of the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, May 29th, 2025. Please stay tuned.